Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a terrific Tuesday today. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I just had a really good devotion this morning. A friend of mine, Drew, sent me he sends me these devotions all the time through my email. And this is called Friendship with the Holy Spirit. And it really ties in a lot to what we taught about a few weeks ago about how the energy field that permeates the entire planet is the energy field of God, and how that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we accept Christ, He connects us through to God into His dimension into heaven. And I was reading this today, and it just kind of ties right into the doggone science of it. I love this. I'm going to read you part of this real quick because I think it's important to talk about stuff like this. As believers, we've been given the Holy Spirit as a helper, a teacher, a friend, and a seal for the promised inheritance of eternal life with God. His presence, guidance, and wisdom in our lives are the greatest gifts while we're here on earth. Through Him, we have access to direct connection to our Heavenly Father. There you go, right at His dimension. Through Him, we have to receive spiritual gifts to empower us. And through Him, we are able to bear the incredible fruit of abundant life. Open your heart and mind to all the Holy Spirit would give you, show you, and lead you to this week. And what's really nice about this is, in friendship with the Holy Spirit, we begin to experience a sense of wholeness and joy unattainable through any other relationship or aspect of life. Rapid and wonderful transformation results when you discover the wealth of love that comes with a continual, real friendship with the living God. In friendship with God comes peace, security, honesty, healing, and freedom. As you live your life in step with the Spirit, you experience what Adam and Eve experienced as they walked in the garden, with God Himself in the Garden of Eden. You discover the vast reservoir of love, affection, and perfect help that's available to you in the Holy Spirit. Open your heart today. And he goes on to quote a few verses. It says, Jesus says in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. God longs for friendship with His people, and through the Holy Spirit, we have a continual connection with God available to us. The Spirit desires to do life with you. He wants to guide you, speak to you, and love you. He wants to satisfy your longing for a relationship, and can do so in greater ways than you imagine. This is what happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We resonate with the very frequency of God Almighty. I mean, this is what it's talking about here, from the physics and from the spiritual standpoint. John 14:16-17 says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, when the world cannot receive Him. Now listen to this. Whom the world cannot receive. This is what I was telling the lady who was a secular lady the other day. You can't receive the Holy Spirit unless you have a connection through Christ, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells in you, and He will be in you. By God's grace, you have been filled with God Himself. That's amazing, guys. You are dwelling with you, the same Spirit who authored Scripture, raised Christ from the dead, empowered the disciples, and hovered over the waters of creation, all things. And Scripture says that He longs to help you. Jesus calls Him the Helper. How incredible is the grace of our God to offer us relationship with the Holy Spirit. How great is His love that He would send His Son to die, that we may have abundant life for all of eternity, including right now. So guys, I just want to share that with you guys today. I thought I was so blessed by that this morning. I thought, you know what? I really liked that. I'm going to read that on the show today. So I thank you for giving me the latitude and the leeway to bring Scripture to you on a regular basis and to continue to pray for you guys, because you mean that much to me. Austin, what's your first story?
First story today, man. This is pretty interesting. As we're seeing more and more stuff with the Supreme Court ruling, that's pretty good now. The Fourth Amendment victory today has now happened as an 8-1 Supreme Court rules that police still need a warrant to search a vehicle if it is on private property or around the vicinity, refusing to extend automobile exceptions. Now, what this is going on with here is, you guys know, if you're driving down the road and you get pulled over, basically if a law enforcement officer comes up to your vehicle and says, you know, do you have any drugs or anything in the vehicle? You say no. Well, do you mind if I search the vehicle? At that point in time, you can basically deny them entry into your vehicle. You say, no, I don't feel comfortable you coming into my vehicle, so you don't have access to it. Well, at that point, if they bring a dog out or they say that they have probable cause because they smell dope or the dog alerts, something of that nature, then basically at that point, they have the right, supposedly, I still don't agree with this, but the right to enter your vehicle. Well, what had happened in Virginia now, listen to this, refusing to grant law enforcement another loophole now, the Supreme Court victory for the Fourth Amendment basically prevents the encroaching on the rights of citizens to privacy in their homes. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that police may not intrude on private property in order to carry out a warrantless search of a vehicle parked near or at a residence. In an 8-1 decision in Collins versus Virginia, the court rejected Virginia's claim that warrantless police searches of vehicles because of probable cause are allowed under the Fourth Amendment's automobile exception, regardless of where the vehicle is located. Under the automobile exception, police have a greater leeway to search vehicles without a warrant. So what Virginia claimed is that an automobile exception is still granted even if a vehicle drives into private property. Now, the scenarios that a lot of times have happened here is where somebody is right down the road from their house. They basically drive in. They get pulled over. They get lit up by a police right when they're going down their street. And they basically pull into their driveway, pull into their garage, and all of a sudden the cop pulls in behind them. Well, now the officer is conducting a traffic stop, but he is now on private property. And so what a lot of officers have tried to do now is use that vehicle loophole as an exception to go in and gain entry not only to their vehicle, but also to their house in some cases, and also in scenarios where people call the cops to residences and there's vehicles at the house and so forth. So what law enforcement has tried to do for years is use this basically as mission creep to allow themselves to gain entry into people's homes, onto their private property and so forth, just because of a vehicle. And so the Supreme Court has now ruled that it's not the case. If a vehicle is on private property, they need a court ordered warrant to search that vehicle at that point. So I'm very glad to see this. As we saw, you guys, you know, yesterday we talked about the other Supreme Court decision that came in that was actually pretty exciting as well. So this is something that's actually been going positive in the right direction for a lot of us lately, Dad, which is exciting with the Supreme Court.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I remember years ago I was coming home in an Acura. This was back in the early 90s. It's back when they still had the Legend. I had an Acura Legend, one of the best cars I ever owned. Of course, it's made by Honda. I mean, you can't go much wrong with a Honda. And I remember I was coming home one night, and I pulled into the driveway, and I didn't go in the garage. I parked on the curb, not on the curb, but actually in my driveway in front of the garage. And I had a police officer pull up right behind me with his blue lights on. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. And he goes, and he said, you asked for my driver's license. I said, sure. I said, what did I do? And he goes, well, you passed me going the other direction. He goes, I don't have you on radar, but I think you were speeding. And I said, okay. And I said, so you don't have me on radar? He goes, no. He goes, how fast are you going? I said, I don't know. I said, it's night. I wasn't looking at the dash. I was looking at the road. And so he promptly chewed me out for a few minutes and left. And I thought, well, that's odd. But now you're telling me that if he'd wanted to, he could have said, okay, you know, I'm bringing the dogs now. I'm going to search this car. And if I don't like this, I'm going to search this house. And they said no to all that. So I'm glad they're doing that. That's a really good move. I'm like you said, we're going to have, and if Trump can stack one more on there and get rid of the two, strange ones on there, you know, but there's more than two strange ones, but the two really strange ones. And so we'll do that. By the way, I've told you over and over again that the Rothschilds control America through their corporate interlocking directorships, through their stock purchases. Finally, an article has come out and said that Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street, that these three firms, these are investment firms, own corporate America. And I thought that was interesting. It said a fundamental change is underway in stock market investing, and the spinoff effects are poised to dramatically impact corporate America. In the past, individuals and large institutions mostly invested in actively managed mutual funds such as Fidelity, in which stock managers pick stocks with the aim of beating the market. But since the financial crisis of 2008, investors have shifted to index funds, which replicate established stock indices such as the S&P 500. The magnitude of the change is astounding. From 2007 to 2016, actively managed funds have recorded outflows of roughly $1.2 trillion, and inflows in index funds have increased to inflows of $1.4 trillion. I mean, this is huge, guys. So what's happening is this market is being tightened up tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. and now basically is being controlled primarily through three giant asset managers, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. So think through this for a second. Each of these corporations are literally having trillions. There's $11 trillion in assets under management. So I wanted to share this with you because whenever I see, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and so whenever this kind of stuff happens, then we begin to realize that, you know, we've got all of these big companies that are really, 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 you know, pretty much just deciding on what they're going to do with our dollars as far as they get these merging and acquisitions and stock buybacks. By the way, Miss America, is because of political correctness, is now scrapping its swimsuit competition and will no longer judge based on physical appearance. In other words, I guess it was going to be too different. And I'm going to say something that's going to be kind of weird here, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Pretty quickly, we're going to have transgenders in the Miss America contest.
Yep.
Now, I hope everybody's listening to me right here. Okay? And they're going to walk out there with their swimsuits on. And if they're a transgender, it's going to be kind of like Michelle Obama trying to hide stuff in a silk dress. It's really difficult to do that. They don't want to have to deal with all that. So now what they're going to do is they're going to, and plus you think it's silk dress and stuff, try to do it in a, you know, in a tight-fitting swimsuit. It's not going to be possible. So now they're telling us that they're going to get rid of the Miss America swimsuit competition. And I can guarantee you within a few years, we will have transgenders voted for their states to go to Miss America who will be competing in the Miss America contest because they're going to identify as a female that night and they will be able to put on their application they're a female and it'll be politically incorrect to do a DNA test on them to see if they really have male parts. So, I mean, this is kind of interesting. I mean, this is changing more and more and more. Now, to me, the Miss America contest is always nice. You got the evening gowns, you got the talent competition, and you got the swimsuit competition, and you get to pick a girl that you think represents the United States. You want somebody who's in shape, somebody who's smart, somebody who's talented, somebody who looks nice. And now they're saying, well, we basically don't want them in a swimsuit anymore because I guess it's racist or sexist or one of those things that we talked about yesterday, which I thought was interesting. What was that? What was that word that we used yesterday? The Philippine president gave? Yeah. Misogyny.
Yeah.
Hatred of women. I have to look up my own notes. That's a new word for my vocabulary. Misogyny. So we hate women, so now we're going to allow men to go on and compete as Miss America, and they don't want the public to know that the guy basically has the wrong plumbing, so they have to make sure they don't put him in a swimsuit. That's my take on this, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, absolutely. I mean, when you're dealing with something, I mean, you're already prepping for a show like this. It's like a bodybuilding contest. It's like saying, well, we're not going to make females that want to enter into the bikini bodybuilding contest to wear bikinis. Well, here's the thing. This is a choice. If you want to compete in bodybuilding, if you want to get on stage, if you want to do this, that's your choice. Nobody's forcing you to enter Miss America pageant. Nobody's saying you have to try out for this. You have to enter. It's actually a lot of work to get to that level. You don't just apply and go to the Miss America pageant. You literally have to win locals, and you have to go to nationals, and you got basically go to the upper level with that. Same thing with any type of bodybuilding. So the fact that they're doing this now is exactly what Dad just said. A, it's political correct BS is what it is, as they're trying to basically force the American population into submitting to this liberal leftist ideology where this feminist mindset is starting to overtake way too much stuff in the United States. And then, yes, that's going to be the next thing that I can almost guarantee you is going to happen within the next year or two, is they're going to start allowing transgender women or men to actually act like they're girls, get up there and say, well, I'm a female. I identify as a female. I want to enter Miss America. You can't tell me I can't do that. And that is exactly where this is going, Dad. I'm glad you called that out. Quite disgusting. Just, I mean, really ridiculous. It's really a joke where a lot of this stuff is starting to head now.
Well, it is. It really is. Now, by the way, Bill Clinton has issued another non-apology as he tries to clean up the Monica Lewinsky mess by saying that he did apologize to the whole world at a staged prayer breakfast. Bill Clinton going to a prayer breakfast, you kind of wanted to know. I guess he's doing some of this voodoo stuff from Haiti at the prayer breakfast. It isn't the Most High God, I can guarantee you that. It isn't Yahweh. Clinton rocked the political world during the 1990s, but he's forced to admit an affair with a young White House intern, Monica Lewinsky. Now he insists he doesn't even owe her a face-to-face apology for turning her life upside down and subjecting her to international ridicule. Former president said on Monday he's a victim of his own transgressions since he was $16 million in debt when he left the White House. Whatever. Hours after making a giant mess of his book tour, Clinton doubled down during a Harlem event. He insisted he had issued a blanket mea culpa for what caused all the trouble for me in the 90s at a prayer breakfast, without even mentioning the trouble it caused Lewinsky. And he also said he's a Me Too backer. It's unbelievable. Despite accusations of sexual misconduct. This guy's a serial rapist. He's a serial rapist. The fact that he even has a book tour, he's got to have some. His PR firm that had him go on these shows have to be dumber than a box of rocks. And here's why. If he's a former president of the United States, which he is, though lowlife that he is, he needs to have the ability to run the tape on the interview and have editorial edits. He needs to be able to cut what he doesn't like out of the tape to have it aired. And, of course, a lot of big shows aren't going to do that, so just don't go on those shows. But he's gone himself now and made a complete and total fool of himself again for more money. I mean, gosh, the Clinton Foundation, Hillary moved over $1 billion into Saudi Arabia and her foundation and her money and whatever. These guys don't need the money. What in the world is he doing a book tour? All this is about propaganda. The book's all propaganda. The book is trying to leave a legacy for him as a Democrat to basically propagandize everybody who reads the book so they can go in 20, 30 years from now when this weirdo is dead and gone and they go, oh, by the way, Bill Clinton, he was so wonderful. Here, look at his book. Look what he said. Remember, guys, to the victors go the history books, and they write their own autobiographies. They write their biographies. They tell their autobiography, they write them. This guy is a serial rapist, period. I mean, my gosh, Paula Jones, the list goes on and on. Broadway, you know, Lewinsky, the fact that he's even writing a book, and the liberals are so stinking, just so two-faced, Austin. This guy, the book was number one on Amazon already. It's going to sell huge numbers. The liberals are going to buy it by the millions. And the sad part about it is they condemn the very behavior that he did. Look what happened to Weinstein. This guy's no different than Weinstein. He was using his office as the president to hammer interns, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it's such an unbelievable... They're so two-faced. I mean, they'll nail everybody on one side, and then when they like one of their guys on their side... They just give him a big pass, Austin. They don't care about what he did or what he says or anything. To be honest with you, it really nauseates me that he's even on a talk show considering all the stuff that's already happened with Weinstein. He should be sticking his head in a ditch somewhere and praying that nobody's going to recognize him so he won't get eviscerated. But quite frankly, he deserves what he's getting on the talk shows, Austin. And I'm glad it happened to him, though I do wish people weren't buying his book. What do you think?
It is. I mean, it's pretty much a joke, but it just goes to show you who runs the mainstream media. Because in an alternative media world, if we were actually running this stuff and we were trying to give real, true, unbiased news that we already do right now, and we weren't going to allow these globalists to come in and try to peddle their filth in their books, nobody would give them a slot. But the fact that he's actually doing this, this is what they do, man. They're greed. They're completely and totally infested with greed. I mean, we already see Hillary Clinton basically being investigated for the foundation that has literally laundered billions of dollars now all over the world. I mean, they completely and totally raped Haiti. I mean, we've seen that, those reports now, as far as where the money that was supposed to be going down to Haiti never showed up. The supplies never went there. The money never went there. It literally just skated right through their foundation and went right back into their bank accounts. So these guys can run around the world in their lavish private jets and own their 20 different mansions all around the country and party all the time and do whatever they want. And that's what they do. It's just greed. It's complete and total greed. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care how corrupt they are. They don't care who it affects. As long as they continue to make money, that's all that matters to them. And, you know, that's a very sad place to be in your life, especially when they have killed and ruined so many people's lives by their past behavior. But also, too, something I want to bring up today. I saw the video yesterday. I did a little bit more research on it today because the whole situation is quite strange. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen the footage from the basically the militia-style retired veterans that found the sex trafficking land down in Tucson over the weekend. I've watched some of the videos of it, some really weird stuff on there that they found. I don't want to go into a ton of that because it's really weird. I talked about it enough yesterday, but the situation essentially came to a head
on Sunday when the group dug up essentially a bloody knife, more female underwear, and also a plane ticket of a potentially missing girl from Seattle. The group is trying to contact the girl's family for verification. They filmed the findings on live Facebook, which a lot of people saw now, and shortly thereafter the police showed up and arrested two members of the group for trespassing, which I find to be quite strange that they actually would do that. I mean, they're finding this basically base for a sex trafficking, child trafficking ring, and they show up and they're arrested. But now I found out later, the land that they found this on is owned by Cemex, C-E-M-E-X, which is a multinational building material company that's headquartered out of Mexico. And it is at the center, basically, of Tucson, Arizona, where this was found, where citizens say, essentially, they uncovered a full-blown sex trafficking bunker, which local authorities have now refused to examine. And also found very strangely as well, the mayor of Tucson, get this, is named Jonathan Ross. Child. However, it is unconfirmed. It is unconfirmed. I can't say this, but it is unconfirmed whether or not he is related to the basically the family dynasty of Rothschild, which, I mean, it wouldn't doubt me one bit that this is the same guy, but I do find it to be rather strange that when the police show up on this land, you have this giant sex trafficking literally going underground. They're finding cellars with cages and chains with literally piles of children's clothing and dolls. I mean, weird stuff. The police show up and they arrest the basically the veterans that are there exposing what's really going on right now. The authorities won't even look into it. They say, oh, it's private property. We can't do anything about it. Are you kidding me right now? You can't do anything about this? It's the middle of nowhere out in Tucson, Arizona, and you find something like this and you refuse to investigate it? Very, very weird stuff. Smells to me like a cover-up. But as creepy as it is, I'm glad they found this and at least have exposed it. They even put it on live Facebook when it was going on, apparently, so that everybody on their page, all their followers, could see it, especially if the videos were taken down. But they recorded it as well, so they still have the footage. But some really, really weird stuff over there in Tucson, Arizona, Dad, over the weekend.
Dave Hodges called me up and told me about this yesterday, and it's some real sick stuff. We talked about it some yesterday. I'm waiting to see how this unfolds and if the law enforcement will actually get involved. I also believe that Cemex, the company that's the big concrete company that owns the land, they were also involved in giving money to the Clinton Foundation. That's what Dave told me yesterday. So there's another tie-in right there. By the way, there's a new movie hit the box office last weekend. It was called Solo. It's going to be the first Star Wars Protocol movie that actually lost money. They said it's going to lose $50 million plus in the first defeat for Disney Star Wars Empire. And I saw the movie. I saw it. I went with Sharon to the movies last weekend, and I watched it. Or I can't remember if it was the movie last weekend or the weekend before. I can't remember anymore. But I saw the movie. I thought the movie was okay. I mean, I thought it was, you know, okay. Now, what they did, they had this lesbian, how should I say this, attitude robot. I mean, I can't say it was lesbian. It's a robot. You don't know what it is, but it was definitely a feminist robot, and it had a crazy attitude. It was like a pansexual relationship with this other actor in the movie that he was in love with this robot. I mean, the whole thing was sick. And what they got to understand is if they keep trying to push these kind of weirdo dialogues, Austin, through to the American population, it leaves too big of a negative influence in a group of people that are still aren't given over to the dark side, to use the forces term here on this silly thing with Solo. But see, it's one of those things that guys, they have to understand, and we have to vote with our dollars. I didn't know the feminist robot was going to be in there, or there was going to be a pansexual relationship with this robot and all this other weird stuff, or I wouldn't even have gone to the movie. I wouldn't have gone to see it. I just wanted to see it because it was a new Star Wars movie, because I've been watching Star Wars for the past 40 years. So it was interesting. This would be the first time that movie series has actually lost money. And on another news, the White House has canceled the NFL Eagles ceremony and criticizes the team because a bunch of the team guys decided they weren't going to go hear a Republican president. They weren't going to go honor a Republican president. They weren't going to go to the White House to be honored by their president. They basically wanted to go ahead and just not show up and create a giant brouhaha to coincide with their kneeling during the national anthem. And Trump had enough of it. He says, I'll tell you what, boys, you don't want to come. I'm not playing this. I'm not going to give you this press release like this. I cancel it. And he killed it. He's done. He's finished with it. Now, here's the problem I have with all of this. The NFL is not a sport. It is entertainment. And being entertainment, therefore, is not being regulated by anybody that cares about the betting on the NFL. The NFL is completely and totally rigged. Betting in the NFL is like betting on professional wrestling. Why in the world would you do that? Do you really think that the Baron Hans Mortier, when he wrestled, you know, Man Mountain Mike or whatever it was back in the 70s, that these guys were legit? That they were really truly wrestling? This is choreographed, okay? This is all planned on who's going to be the winner, what the winner's going to do, blah, 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 blah. This is what professional football is. And quite frankly, for Trump to even consider bringing a professional football team in a staged sport, you know, entertainment event like this is nonsense to begin with, and I'm glad he canceled this, and I urge all of you, turn off the TV, don't watch the sports, they use it for the alpha males in the United States to take their identity and shift it to a sports team so that they'll be a winner. And that they'll be able to do what they wanted. They can't do it at work. Many relationships with their wives, they can't do it with their wives. With their children, they can't do it. But they can be the alpha in their little sports team, down in their man cave, down in the cellar, wearing the little hat, wearing the little badge, wearing the little jacket, drinking the beer, being the man, being the guy who's rooting for a sports team. It's all done on purpose, guys. Every bit of this has been done and orchestrated through the CIA, through MK Ultra program, through flicker rates that Austin talked about yesterday, and through beta waves and through theta brain waves to control the masses to keep them subdued and dumbed down. This is bread and masses for the circuses. This is throwing bread to the people in the Colosseum to keep them happy and fed and keep their blood sugar from dumping down. That's all this is. These are staged events that they're doing to control the people in the United States so that we don't wake up and suddenly march on Washington, D.C., like we did back in the 60s with the Vietnam War, when enough of us had had enough of it, said, no more of this mess. We had millions of people in multiple different marches march up to Washington, D.C. and say, we don't want to do this anymore. We're tired of killing people in wars. We want out. What they did, they brought us into an all basically volunteer service so they could continue their wars and going with the military-industrial complex. They gave their soldiers huge raises for what they made back in the 60s and the 70s to try to compensate them for going over and having their heads and arms and legs and everything else blown off. And now we have a situation where we've been sedated with fluoride, with TV, with the sports heroes. Like Alan Watt did a really good show with infomercials a few years ago, and it basically goes how we have been sedated. You can watch it on YouTube. It's free. It's not going to cost you anything. Alan Watt, InfoWars, basically how we've been controlled, how we've been sedated, how they've used television to control everybody. See, before TV was big, back in the 50s and the 60s, people would go out to the park and they would talk to each other. Oh my gosh, they actually had a conversation. They would actually communicate. They would stand outside a church on Sunday morning and talk in the parking lot or in the area where the church was, giving them with the church that the church gave them in order to communicate with one another. They would actually call each other on the telephone and speak to each other. In Europe and here in the United States, they used to go to pubs and the bars and the taverns, and they used to talk about the politics and all the other stuff they did. Now they don't do it anymore. How do they stop them from talking in the pubs and the bars and the taverns now? They put TVs in the pubs and the bars and the taverns. Nobody's having a conversation in there. They're going in there to eat chicken wings and watch sports again. They've taken the sports into the pubs and the bars to stop all dialogue. Kids nowadays, you try to have a discussion with them and speak to them. If it's not by text or by tweet, they don't have any idea how to even communicate. And this is being done on purpose. Watch Charlotte Iserby. She's got all kinds of videos on YouTube. And she goes into detail on the intentional dumbing down of America and how they did it to the educational system. All of this is being used as a master plan by these Sabbatean Kabbalists, these Khazarians, these Jacob Frank followers, this synagogue of Satan, the Druids, the fallen angels, Osiris in Egypt, and all these teachings. The same group of people has been controlling this now since Genesis chapter 6, even back to the garden with Cain, and this is where they trace their lineage to. They're doing it because they want to control the energy that's going out of the planet. They want to keep everybody as dumbed down and as absolutely uninformed as they possibly can. You'd have never thought about having sports bars in a bar back in the 50s or in the 40s or the 60s. people went there to talk. They went there to dance. And I'm not promoting going to bars. I'm not promoting that at all. What I'm saying is it's gone through everything now, through the bars, through the homes, through the churches. I mean, churches come in, and many times on Sunday night, to watch the Super Bowl game. I mean, I've seen it. They actually play the Super Bowl in the sanctuary. Unbelievable what's happened to our country and how we've been brain dumbed down. What do you think, Austin?
Well, it's funny you say that because you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a really valid point because you go to places now, even if it's just like sports bars, you know, something like Buffalo Wild Wings or, you know, Applebee's or just any restaurant that has a bar, has stuff like that now. Every time you go into these places, there's literally a TV at every single viewing point. And they do this strategically so they can get more seats filled whenever they have sports games. I've talked to managers of restaurant stuff. I was in the restaurant industry when I was younger in college, and they do that all the time. They put TVs everywhere, so you're constantly entertained while you're eating. And Dad just nailed it. You know, most of the time when people would go out, everybody would talk about everything that's going on. They would see what's going on all the time. They would converse and share different ideas, and now everybody's so busy being wrapped up with television and wrapped up with sports, being wrapped up with who's winning the basketball game or the football game and all this stuff. And guys, I'm not dissing sports at all. I used to play baseball when I was younger. There's a lot of fun sports you can play. But being in the sport and enjoying the sport and being active is a whole lot different than being obsessed with the sport as a spectator. There's a huge difference between the two. Or supporting people that are in the game that are family and friends and you going to the game and supporting them. Are going to a college game that you're in school with and you're supporting your team and having fun with everybody. There's nothing wrong with that, but I've seen so many guys, as Dad just talked about, especially my age, they get so wrapped up in this like fantasy draft pick NFL and fantasy football. They literally live vicariously through the NFL
That's
football
right.
The entire fall part of the year. I mean, they're completely and totally every single end of the weekend. Oh, what are we doing this weekend? We got to do something with the fantasy. We got to vote on this. We got to watch this game. We got to watch every single game all weekend long. And they get so wrapped up in it, it's nauseating me. I've never been like that. I've always been in active sports, whether it was, you know, karate or jiu-jitsu or baseball or motocross, whatever it was. I like being active and doing stuff. And, you know, that's a sad thing that we've lost in America is a lot of times now where people don't want to go out and have fun with one another. They simply just want to go out and watch sports games all the time. And it's definitely a crazy thing. Also, too, I thought this was kind of wild now. As of yesterday, 1,071 people have already been shot in Chicago as of June 4th. There's already been over 200 homicides as well. Looks like they're going to have roughly close to 2,000 to 2,500 injured person to shootings in Chicago and well over 400 homicides again this year. And the irony about this is, Where's Mr. David Hogg at? His skinny little ugly face running around promoting everybody to disarm themselves and turn in their guns because so many kids are dying every day. Where's he talking about? Why isn't he in Chicago? You guys notice? I haven't seen David Hogg in Chicago yet. I haven't seen him laying down on the Publix floor in Chicago or the supermarket floor in Chicago demanding everybody turn in their guns in Chicago. I haven't seen that yet. Actually, I haven't seen anything on mainstream media about 1,071 people being shot in the last 6 months in Chicago. Haven't heard anything about that, Dad. Isn't it ironic how when it doesn't fit their agenda because the city has already has some of the strictest gun laws in the entire country, that when it doesn't fit the mainstream agenda, they don't talk about it. They don't bring it up. The little activists like David Hogg and his little CNN buddies that run around and spew their rhetoric off their teleprompters are nowhere to be found. That's so odd to me because, you know, they totally said they're about people's lives. They don't want gun deaths. They don't want people being injured. So why have they not done anything in Chicago? Considering the fact that we're looking roughly around 30 to 40 people die every month just in the city of Chicago from gun homicides alone, and I don't hear anything about that. Well, maybe because there's not much more you can do in Chicago with restricting guns, as every law-abiding citizen has pretty much been disarmed, and now you only have the, imagine this, criminals that don't obey the law that are armed now. That's a crazy concept. That I don't understand how this works. You know, it's supposed to be when you pass gun laws, the criminals turn in their guns too, right? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? You know, I mean, they're criminals, they're murderers, they're drug dealers, they do all kinds of malicious things. You know, you would think, though, when they put a gun law in, they would say, you know what, I know I kill people, I know I sling dope for a living, I know I rob people, but golly, these gun laws, they're strict. I really need to turn in my firearms because I don't want to go to jail for a year for being caught for a firearm. I'd rather just murder somebody with an axe. Guys, it doesn't work like that. Everybody needs to get their head out of the sand and realize this has been a mainstream propaganda push all the way from Texas, back over to Florida, back over to California, and every place in between. They want the people's firearms because they do not want us to defend ourselves. If these little kids wanted anything to do with preventing gun violence, they would go protest in Chicago and demand all the dope boys turn in their AK-47s and their MAC-10s in Chicago. Oh, and then they'd find out real quick how nobody cares about their stupid little feelings and nobody cares about their little propaganda piece, and they find out what it's like to live in a zone where most of the citizens have been fully disarmed and only the criminals have firearms, Dad. But how sad is that in Chicago that they've reached this point to these many people getting shot, yet nobody wants to talk about it at all in the mainstream media?
Chicago's the third largest city in the country. It's United. Well, you know, it used to be now. It was New York, then L.A., then Chicago. And, you know, in New York, they've got very, very strict gun laws, and they've done a pretty good job with their stormtroopers running around stopping all the murders in New York. Chicago has done absolutely nothing as far as what we can see, and L.A. has done absolutely nothing. You know, and these are all gun-free zones. And what's crazy about it is, like you just said earlier, Hogg's not going to ever protest in Chicago because it's already a gun-free zone. Now, that's what's so stupid about this. It's already a gun-free zone. So if he goes up there and protests about the shootings, he'll be protesting in a gun-free zone. I thought it was ironic. A girl from one of the major universities who graduated this past week, she has now basically challenged David Hogg to an arm wrestling contest and said that whoever wins gets to have their feelings on gun rights. And there's a picture of her walking in front of her university after she graduated carrying an AR-15 slung on her back with the back of her hat saying on her graduation hat, "Come and take it." And I got a big kick out of that about the AR-15. And she's more macho than this little dweeb. Remember, David Hogg is basically being used by the media as a paper cutout, as a front man, just like all these other guys are being used to prevent us from realizing it's the same international banking cartels that caused the Soviet Union demise and the seizure of the guns and the weapons in the Soviet Union to allow them to go kill 100 million Russians, primarily the Russian Orthodox Christians. This is the problem that we have. They don't want us to see this. They don't want us to see the truth of this. Also, that's a really good analogy. By the way, speaking of propaganda, the Council on Foreign Relations, another Rothschild entity, created there at the beginning with World War One with the Versailles Treaty, the Council on Foreign Relations tells the government that they have to use propaganda on Americans. The Council on Foreign Relations delivered an Orwellian presentation recently that unsurprisingly went unnoticed in the mainstream media, in which CFR's Rod Stingle forwarded the notion that governments have to direct propaganda to their own domestic populations. The Council is recognized as one of the United States' oldest and most established think tanks of the American power elite, and it often sets the agenda, here we go, on important policy questions. Rothschilds, or the former senior editor of the Washington Post, Richard Harwood, in a column entitled "Ruling Class Journalists," approvingly described the Council as the nearest thing we have to a ruling establishment in the United States. Hillary Clinton even said that she had to go to them to find out what they wanted her to do as far as when she was going to be in the White House and when she was in the White House with Bill Clinton. Harwood admittedly wrote, "The membership of these journalists in the Council, however they may think of themselves, is an acknowledgement of their active and important role in public affairs and their ascension into the American ruling class. They think that they're basically better than us. They do not merely analyze and interpret foreign policy for the United States. They make it. And they are part of the establishment, whether they like it or not, sharing most of its values and its world views." Guys, this is some crazy stuff. You can read this article on the freethoughtproject.com. It's the name of the article. It's "Council on Foreign Relations Tells the Government They Have to Use Propaganda on Americans." The article was written by SYRMOPOULOUS. Read through it and make a note, because, guys, again, this is a Rothschild propaganda machine put together with the League of Nations 100 years ago, Austin. What do you think?
It is, and this is the only way to get a civilian population essentially to willingly disarm themselves, to willingly capitulate and willingly submit to a globalist agenda, because you have to do full-blown psychological operations on it. This is what Goebbels did with World War II Germany, as far as with the Nazis. They have to use propaganda against the general population in order to change the way they think. You have to completely change the mindset of the population, because if you just go in immediately with an iron fist, especially with a country as well armed with the United States, it's a full-blown bloodbath. And I personally don't even think if they decided to do that all at once, especially 15, 20, 30 years ago when men were actually in and actually would stood up to any type of tyrannical power, if they would have just come in and said, we're bringing in the UN, we're bringing in military force, everybody disarm, we're basically going to a full-blown police state, everybody would have said, hold that thought, probably not going to allow this to happen today, guys. I don't think we're going to get arrested today. And it would have just been, it would have been horrific. But see, what they've done is they've slowly, slowly, slowly broken the minds of the general population through the propaganda, through this whole transgender ideology, through the dumbing down of the kids, through the vaccines and the GMOs, through the music industry, all this stuff. It's all been coupled together, and it all pretty much falls under the category of propaganda and or poisoning of the population. Both the two go hand in hand. And so that's what we're seeing at this point in time, and why it's so important that everybody sticks up for one another and we all have each other's back, especially when it comes down to the patriot community and the alternative media. That's what we always recommend you guys. You know, please forward our show. Wake more people up, because this is we talk about the stuff that nobody else really talks about in mainstream media. Why? Because pretty much anything that gets brought up in mainstream media, you can pretty much guarantee that it's in the mainstream media because the globalists, because of the individuals that own the mainstream media, allow it to be talked about in mainstream media. If they don't, it gets shut down and those guys get pulled off the air, or those anchors get pulled off the air and you never hear from them again, or they never have a platform ever like they did again. For perfect example, Breitbart, which I actually do have a lot of good articles that they have, but again, you know, they get tons of flack all the time. They've been called fake news and everything else for bringing up real stories. Another article today, just going back exactly what I was talking about a minute ago, Memphis, Tennessee, a homeowner whom police say shot and killed two robbers who came into his home and with his personal AK-47. The Memphis Police Department said the homeowner came home Friday night to find 28-year-old Azelle Witherspoon and 17-year-old Damon Robinson in his house. The homeowner said as soon as he walked in, the suspect alerted the other one of his presence, saying, hey, they're here. The suspects then allegedly pulled out a pistol. The homeowner grabbed his personal AK-47 out from under his bed and opened fire, killing both suspects in his house. So, let me ask everybody again that says we need to ban guns and that AK-47s and AR-15s are big, scary weapons that need to be off the streets. What would have happened to this homeowner when he came home unknowingly to two armed suspects that did a breaking and entering while armed in his home, and he would not have owned this weapon? He probably would have been shot and or killed or very severely injured, and that is how it goes down so many times when people do not have the ability to defend themselves. Just wanted to add that in to what I was just talking about a second ago, Dad, since I'm kind of on that topic today.
Well, you know, it's true. I mean, if someone comes into one of our homes, they're going to be met with a barrage of lead. I mean, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be, I mean, there's not going to be a bunch of questions. I learned a long time ago, you know, when I've taken too many training classes. If someone's in your house, you don't have to say to them, who are you? What are you doing here? You know, are you here for good reasons or bad reasons? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to say, throw down your weapon. You don't have to say anything. You know, and so that's the problem people don't get. They think we're playing cops and robbers in the movies. You can't have people coming into your house with a gun or armed or with an attempt to kill you and think you're going to have a dialogue with them, Austin. You're right. You better be armed and you better be prepared for it, because it's going to happen really, really fast. By the way, the FAA, Federal Aeronautics Administration, is sacrificing your safety due to a diversity due to Obama's policies, the blithering Gay Canyon. Here what it says. The Federal Aviation Administration recently changed their hiring practices because of Kenyon. because and they're sacrificing merit for diversity. Now, in other words, what they're saying here is, this is from Tucker Carlson. He pointed out that certain standards, such as understanding science and math, are drastically diluted in the new hiring processes that pose a danger because of a small mistake could cause many people to die. The FAA's biographical questionnaire gives more weight, now listen to this, to people who played a lot of high school sports instead of trained pilots and those who've had experience working for the FAA. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association, controls a large political action committee that funds politicians. I'm going to repeat this. They don't care if you understand how trajectories and angles line up when you're looking at the radar screen. In other words, if point A is at the same altitude as point B, and they are proceeding to each other in the same direction, and they're going to intersect at point C and cause an air traffic collision, and they have to have the geometry to figure out where that intersecting point is going to take place, they'd rather have it so they can throw a football or a baseball or maybe play hockey rather than dealing with people who actually have a science background. This is nuts, Austin. This is absolutely nuts that Obama did this with his diversity program. Because, guys, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have diversity in all of our government agencies. I'm okay with all of that. But put the best qualified person in regardless of their skin color. If they're black and they've got better qualifications than the white guy and they have more science training and they understand geometry and physics and mathematics and all the other stuff, put the black person if he's more qualified. If the white person is more qualified, put the white person in. If the Hispanic's more qualified, put the Hispanic in. If the Asian's more qualified, put the Asian in. I don't want to be on an airplane with somebody who can't plot two interception points. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a valid point, man, and that's the problem that we've gotten into in this country now. With, under the guise of diversity and all these other excuses they use, they're putting a lot of people that don't have the background or the experience also to handle a lot of these situations. When Dad and I have experienced that in numerous situations, and like I said, I don't care what color your skin is or what your background is. When you, especially when you're dealing with stuff like this, when you're dealing with people's lives, hundreds, thousands, 10,000 plus, hundreds of thousands of people's lives on a daily basis when you're dealing with planes, and you're going to tell me that we got to make sure everything's diverse, and if you got somebody that's got more experience, it's better qualified, that's had a perfect track record, and we're not going to put them in there because he's white, and we're going to put this other individual that's brand new, that has no experience, that actually almost barely got through because he's basically, we need to provide diversity. Give me a break, guys. I mean, that's loony bin. That's what crazy people do. Well, I mean, well, granted, Obama, I mean, well, I'm not even going to go there. We're done. I'm not going to say any further. Another article, too, this is pretty crazy. We talk about this all the time with screens. Video screens, the blue light and stuff like that. I've actually talked to somebody the other day, and they recommended this. I have not tried it yet. I actually ordered a pair of a blue light blocking glasses, which they basically look like prescription glasses, but they're not prescription. They're anti-glare blue light blocking glasses that you can wear while you're looking at screens on computers and whatnot. I ordered a pair, and I'm going to see how they work because I'm on the computer a lot. I'm constantly all day dealing with this stuff on a regular basis, and I notice it gives me a headache after a while. Even when I turn my screen all the way down and stuff, it's just, you look at it, it's not good. Well, another article just came in today showing that preliminary results from a new study indicate that greater amount of daily screen time are associated with more insomnia symptoms and shorter sleep durations among adolescents. Results show that for social messaging, web surfing, and TV movie watching, insomnia symptoms and sleep duration fully explain the association between screen-based activities and depression symptoms. They went on to say here, higher rates of depression symptoms among teens may be partially explained through the heavy use of screen-based activities, which can interfere with high-quality restorative sleep. They went on to say that basically this is why you have to limit screen time, especially among children. You know, once you got a teenager and they're going in high school, they're going in college, especially when they're 18, I mean, they're going to do whatever they want to do. You can tell them, you know, this is a good idea. You probably need to do this. You probably don't need to do that. But they're going to do whatever they want to do. However, allowing kids that are, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old use iPads all the time, use phones all the time. I mean, I talked to you guys a couple weeks ago because, you know, I took Hunter to go to the barber shop. We landed dropping him off over there today. My barber texted me up after he got done. He said, dude, your son's awesome. I love cutting his hair. Hunter's two. He's 2 years old. And last time I was in there, he said, it's crazy. He said, because your son sits here. He doesn't need a lollipop. He doesn't need a phone. He doesn't need an iPad. He sits there. You tell him to sit there. He sits still and he gets his hair cut. And then when he gets done, you know, he jumps down and we leave and go do something else. And he said, it's crazy because I see kids that are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old and they literally will not sit in the chair unless the parent shoves an iPad in their face and allows them to play games for the whole whopping 10 minutes that they're getting a haircut in the chair. They literally, complete and total hissy fit meltdown, fall on the floor, kicking and screaming and yelling if they cannot have an iPad for the 10 minutes that they're getting their hair cut. He said, and a lot of them want to have candy too. He goes, they want a lollipop and they want to look at an iPad just to keep their attention span focused long enough just to get a haircut. Now, guys, do you understand how horrible that is? And if you have to do this with your kids, I'm not calling you a bad parent at all, because I think most of our listeners are probably awesome parents and most of you guys don't do this. But I'm saying you need to evaluate how you're raising your kids if you have to dope them down with sugar and give them dopamine triggers with an iPad and a phone in order to keep them still for 10 minutes to get a haircut or to eat breakfast or to sit at dinner or to do a plethora of other things, you name it. This is not the way to raise children. And the problem is this goes down to exactly what we've talked about before with the instant gratification and the dopamine triggers that we're instilling in these young kids at a very, very young age that is going to affect them the rest of their life. They have to be constantly entertained. They have to have constant sweets and sugar. They have to have constant oral fixations. They have to constantly be monitored and entertained with TV, with iPads, with iPhones all the time, or else they get mad and basically pitch a fit. That is not healthy. It is going to come back to bite all of us in the rear end very, very soon if we do not get this generation under control, Dad. But as you see in this article right here, it also ties into horrible sleep, which also ties into depression with young kids and adolescents that use a lot of screen time. So just wanted to throw that in there as well, because this is a problem that we're seeing in this country, and a lot of people do not want to talk about it, Dad.
Well, nobody wants to talk about it. I mean, the kids, number one, you got to remember, the kids not only are they, you know, basically being seduced by dopamine triggers with the iPads and the iPhones and the sugar, they're also basically being brain damaged by the immunizations and the glyphosate. I mean, it's difficult for a child who's got a learning disability or brain damage to sit still for 10 minutes to get a haircut off, because their neurological, their synaptic function doesn't allow that. Their attention can't hold that long. And so we're really raising a generation of children now that are going to be completely and totally, as far as probably 70% of them, are going to be impaired and on drugs. I'm talking Ritalin or Adderall or something, simply because they can't maintain focus. Because, like you said yesterday, you know, the flicker rate and the changing of the scenes on these videos happen like every half second, and that's what they're used to. So their brain, and remember, the brain is incredibly powerful. When it gets used to having that kind of fast stimulus, it needs to have that or it's going to be bored. They're not going to want to sit on top of Mount LeConte in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park and watch a sunset. It's not going to happen. They're going to be too busy trying not to fall off the cliff. I mean, this is the problem that people are going to have with their kids as they get older and older and older, the lack of attention. And then the problem with the rest of us who are trying to raise the kids clean with no immunizations, no shots, no glyphosate, we're going to have a harder and harder time to find spouses for these children who aren't drugged down by the medical pharma industry. It's just the way it's going to be. It's going to be interesting to watch what happens in this country in the next 20 or 30 years. And by the way, speaking of cultural diversity, the president of France, who says he's going to rule France, Macron, is going to rule France like a Greek god, sit upon his throne, Rothschild plant is what he is, even put it by the Rothschilds, has decided to settle 170 new migrants in a very upscale Paris neighborhood with their tent city, to dismay of its wealthy residents. In other words, they're taking these guys who don't know how to use a bathroom, who use the bathroom on the street, they know how to use the bathroom, who don't know how to flush a toilet or use a toilet. They're taking them to one of the most extravagant plush areas in Paris now, setting up a tent city. Some residents in this posh neighborhood in Paris have objected to a new migrant settlement built next to them. It is the 34th time in 3 years that the roadside tent communities have been uprooted and moved somewhere else because of complaints and because of hygiene and because of rapes and because of gang raping barbarian hordes. but thousands of people continue living in makeshift tents along the canals in Paris. More than 500 new asylum seekers are arriving in Paris every single week.
Wow.
However, oddly, no one is mentioning deportation and closing the borders as a solution, because it's a Rothschild-controlled territory, and their Greek god wannabe president basically is a boy who is a hireling doing exactly what his masters, the Sabbateans, tell him to do. Guys, thank you for listening to the show today. Interesting show. Covered a lot of topics. Thank you so much for supporting Health Masters and getting your vitamins from us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to pray for you every day. Thank you for being part of our family. Thank you for just being with us and just being part of us and praying for us. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, bud. And we appreciate all the support from you guys. Thank you for the emails and everything you've been sending us on a regular basis. We really do like getting feedback from everybody. I mean, it's one of those things to where, you know, when we're going in and we're going and basically trying to help everybody out as much as possible and do the best we can with getting everybody, you know, situated and, you know, help everybody with their health, with their nutrition, with everything, you know, we really do try to help everybody out. So getting good, healthy, positive feedback is greatly appreciated. And of course, if you guys need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. We have a lot of stuff going on right now, a lot of sales. The B Complex is still on sale for the summer sale that we're doing right now on it for a short period of time. It's on 30% off, and we're basically, you know, doing the best we can to provide the highest quality supplements at the best possible price for everybody. So if you guys need anything, check out the website or give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. And again, you know, I have a lot of people that constantly send me emails and leave comments and stuff, and they basically say, you know, well, I want a coupon for this, and I want a coupon for that, and I want a coupon for this. And the thing is, guys, we do the best we can to provide you guys with coupons all the time. And on top of that, when the coupons aren't active, thank you guys for understanding that we can't have active coupons 24/7, 365, and we already have kits and three packs and specials and sales and products of the week and all kinds of different things that we have regularly ready for you guys to buy that are already discounted all the time. So we really appreciate the support from that, guys. We thank you for everything. Thank you for sharing the show and giving us all the support and buying your multiple vitamins through us and helping to support what we're trying to do with just promoting and bringing back this country to, you know, a constitutional, patriotic, Christian background. We thank you guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.